So we are in the middle of this text called Bhakti Sudha. Bhakti means devotion or love for God. And as we had studied before, loving God means loving the entire creation, because love for God is the supreme love. My love for an individual or for an object or for a position or power is limited, for a possession or a sport. But loving God is loving the entire creation, and it expands your love. And we had talked about how even to succeed in any field, even whether to succeed in computers or to be successful in serving the world or to be successful in meditation or to be successful in yoga, you have to love the subject. So love is at the very basis of all spiritual progress, not only spiritual progress, even worldly progress. To be a successful sportsman or a successful engineer or a physicist or a teacher or a physician, you have to love the subject. So this book is about loving God. So we shall continue today talking about the different expressions. They say you should love God, but how do these expressions, how do people express love for God, and how do we express our love in this world? We shall talk about that. We won't go into the detail because a lot of that is covered in this book. Those who are new could purchase this book at the end for $3, but we won't repeat what we had done. So on page 30, verse number 18. Bhaktirekaiva tasyastu. Bhaktirekaiva tasyastu. Vividha abhivyaktayaha. Abhivyaktayaha. Bhaktanam ruchi bhedene. Nam ruchi bhedene. भाव भेदे न वा तथा. So it says that even though love is one, love for God is only one, but vividha abhivyaktaya, but its expressions are so different. What does it depend on? How do people express their love for God? They say, bhakta naam ruchi bhedena, depending on the aptitude, what the devotee likes, what he or she wants, that and bhava bhedena, and the attitude with which we approach God. So, depending on the aptitude and depending on the attitude. Let us first see how love expresses in the world. You say, I love somebody. So, what do? Well, buy him a gift. Love him so on his birthday or on his anniversary or something of special occasion, go buy a nice gift. But just because you buy a gift, does that mean you love that person? Not necessarily. You might buy the gift for lust. You know, you may want something from her, or for your boss, or if you want a contract from somebody, so you buy them an expensive gift, or give them 2 tickets to the Lakers game, or things like that. You know, so that's not given out of love. That gift is given out of a desire to acquire. So just because I give somebody something does not mean I love. But yeah, gift giving is one of the expressions of love. You know, when I love somebody, I think about that person and I buy a gift that this person enjoys, like Christmas. You know, some people love to shop for Christmas. Others say, Christmas is coming and I have to buy gifts for relatives I don't even like, you know, and they start dreading from September onward. And the funny thing nowadays is Christmas cards. You know, people have these electronic lists and they just download the labels, just take them on and send it, and they won't update it. And somebody is dead and they send him a Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to who is 6 feet under the ground? How is he going to send? You know, so it's all mechanical. Now it's gotten so bad, they don't even bother to lick stamps. They have electronic list, so electronic card. And it's 2013, they just update. 2014, 2015, change the date, change the picture and send it to everybody. So don't even, so you know, it's becoming so mechanical, you know, it's becoming just something that people do. So unless there is a feeling or a closeness, giving the, and then other people, even the thank you cards are mechanical. They've received the greeting card, so they say thank you for your Christmas greetings. So they have their list and they send it, whether they receive the card or not. So so it's becoming, you know, just a ritual, just a chore, and that is not truly an expression of love. Like for a mother, you know, now hugging or kissing the child, you know, is an expression of love. And then father is hugging and kissing and he has a rough beard and the child is trying to wipe his, but the father goes on because, the, you know, and the child says, you know, stop that. But that is, you know, the father's expression of love. Sometimes the father may even scold the child or punish the child. And you say, you know, that's not right. You know, you're being rough with the child or you're hurting. No, but behind that also there is love because they want the child to improve. They want the child to do well. So there are different expressions of love. And among friends we find, especially in India, some extent here too, when they meet a guy, they'll hammer him hard on the back, you know, so hard that, you know, his whole bones shake. And they say, oh, how are you, buddy, you know. And that is, you know, violent. You might think it is painful, but that is how they express love. And there was this one guy and he went to this fellow and he says, Bob, he hammered him on the back. Bob, how are you? He looks at him, he says, you have changed so much. I won't even have recognized you. So he says, I'm not Bob. So he says, you change your name too? So expressions of love are so varied, you know, and we may think that that's not the way to express love, you know, and there is not one particular way. It is not one that is better than the other. And then there are others. For them, minimal expression. You know, our Swami Chinmayananda used to call it a half-inch smile. They give a little smile and that means I love you. And the wife will say, you know, he never tells me I love you. And he says, at least I don't criticize you. That means I love you. You know, so, you know, people have, all, and otherwise mechanically, love you too. You know, they just hang up while hanging up the phone. So unless there is emotion, unless there is feeling, unless there is, so similarly also, the expressions for love for God has to come from the heart, has to come become genuine, has to be not mechanical. You know, people say, Sunday I went to church, it's over, I'm done with it. That's not the way, you know, done with it. You know, in Hindi they say, puja kar dali, you know, I finished it. No, when you go to church or when you do some prayers or when you do some rituals, your heart has to be in it. You have to be thinking about the Lord. You have to have His form in your mind and you have to constantly remember, just as, you know, how when people are first time in love, how they constantly think about each other, what must she be doing right now? She must have just got up and then now she must be getting ready to go to work. And then he's sending her text messages all day and, you know, emails and so that's how one should have our emotions for God, constantly remembering God, constantly loving, constantly thinking about God. But then the question is, why should we love God? And who is this God? And especially when, you know, people are going through difficult situations, they always blame God. You know, God is the one who has created all my problems and, you know, why should I love Him and all. So we say that if you are going through a difficult situation or a problem, then we always tend to blame, you know, we won't need to blame somebody yet. And God is a very convenient target because He's sitting somewhere up there and He can't even answer us back. And so we criticize. But the way I have understood it, that if you are going through problems, you can handle it through the path of knowledge or through the path of the heart. If you're using the brain, and you're saying the path of knowledge, then we have to understand that there is a cycle of karma where everything is happening because of the karmic cycle. And whatever is happening to me at this moment, I may not know it as to what happened, but there might have been some karmas in my multiple lives, if we believe in multiple lives, which have manifested in this particular life as sorrow. Another way to look at it is, I don't believe in all this karma. I believe in love. And I don't think God can be that, you know, God is all loving and all merciful and I love him. If that is the case, and if you believe in the path of love, then what we say, that we are all born because of our vasanas, our selfish tendency. So we all have some defect or some negativity because of which we took birth. If we were perfect, then we would be angels, we would be living with God. So we came because we had some vasanas, some negative tendencies. And so we are all in this hospital called Earth. That's how they said, our Swami Chinmayananda used to say, that we are all in this hospital called Earth. And there is one divine doctor who gives each person the medicine that he or she needs to get well. Like say there is an emergency room and there are four patients. You know, one has a simple cough and a little, other one has a high fever, other one has severe gastroenteritis and diarrhea, and the fourth one has multiple broken bones in his leg because he had a major skiing accident. Now the doctor is not going to give the same medicine to everybody. The one who has a simple cough, he'll give him a couple of pills and he'll say, take these pills, go away, you'll be fine by tomorrow. One who has a high fever, he'll say, okay, you need an injection. So he has to lie down there, get a painful injection, get a whole series of 2 weeks of bitter tasting antibiotics to get well. The third one has bad diarrhea, he's dehydrated. So what do? We put him in the hospital and then you admit him for 2-3 days and he has to be on a liquid diet. And next to him is this guy with the broken bones. What do you do to him? They put his leg up in the sky and for 3 months his leg is stuck. Now this guy with the diarrhea is, you know, on this barley water and, you know, clear liquid jello, and he finds this guy with the broken bones eating chicken and fish, and he says, this doctor is so partial, you know, he's favoring this guy, he's giving him all the food and all I'm getting is mineral water and jello. No, because that's what your stomach needs, that's all you can handle. And that guy with the broken bones will say, this doctor is so partial, in 3 days now this guy is going home and I'm stuck here for 3 months. So just as each patient needs different medicine, so each one of us is here because we need to be healed. We need to come closer to God. So whatever medicine we get, it is out of his love because he wants to bring us closer to him. So that's why they say you should love God. Then we ask the question, who is this God? So this God is not somebody sitting up in heaven. He is up in heaven in the clouds. He's there in the temple and church and mosque and, you know, everywhere. But he's in my heart as life, as consciousness. God is not far away. God is the creator. Whatever I have, my body, my ability to work, my ability to feel, my ability to think, everything that I have is his gift to me. So when I say I hate God or I criticize God, it is my own self, because God is my own self. He is the one within me. So that is what, so God is. Of course, God is there in the temple and church. God is there up in the heaven, in the clouds. But God is in me as life, and he is there in all beings as life. So true expression of love for God is love for all beings. So I thought I would just kind of add that a little bit to kind of, because people have different concepts of who is God or what is God or what does he do. So now we shall talk about some paths that people take in loving God or in worshiping God, and how different expressions of this love. And this week and then the next week we'll continue that, and that will tell us about the different ways. So how, just as we saw in the world, people can express their love in different ways. So similarly, when people love God, how do they express? And as we said at the end, not one is superior to the other. They are all good, whichever path you take, as long as you remember God with love. So we'll do verse number 19 on page 31.
पूजायामनुरागोवा कथाध्यानजपादिषु
ईश्वरार्पण बुद्ध्या वा पन बुद्ध्या वा सर्वकर्मानुपालने So anuraga means love, constant love for puja. Puja means prayer, means long ritual. So some people love doing prayers, puja, long prayer rituals. Others katha, they love to listen to stories about God. Others dhyana, meditation. Meditation can be on the form or on the formless. Japa and then japa. Some like to chant the name of the Lord. Just chanting his name. Take a mala or take beads and chant his name. Adishu. And there are various ways. Each, they say, as many people, that many paths to God. Each and every one of us has our own special path that we choose to reach him. Japa Adishu. Ishvara Arpana Buddhyava. And some people, Ishvara Arpana, they dedicate their activities to the Lord. All activities to the Lord. Sarva Karma Anupalane. As they are working in the world, everything they dedicate to the Lord. Oh Lord, it is because of your energy, because of your power, I am able to work, I am able to think. So all my activities are dedicated to the Lord. So we'll just spend a couple of minutes talking about each one of them. And as I said again, it's not that one is superior to the other. It is which one suits your personality. Which one is the one that you think will work best for you. So each one of us has to choose. Like somebody may like pujas, long rituals. They will sit for hours. You know, there are some. Sometimes you go to India and that these rituals go on for hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. And they go on praying, and then some people, even in their own home, they will have a little idol of God, and they will, you know, put him there, and then they will, you know, wash the Lord's idol and change his clothes and give him flowers and give him fruit and spend hours. Why? Because they see the Lord in that idol. They know God is everywhere. But they can invoke his presence. And that's what we have found in our mythology. There are people who took a stone and worshipped that. And God actually appeared in that. So it's not that that stone is God. God is everywhere. But by invoking his grace, just as when you see the cross in the church, that is reminds us of Jesus. Jesus is sacrificed. So when you are invoking, or when you see Mother Mary, or you know, like we have different pictures of God. So they are all expressions. There is one divinity, total consciousness, that takes different forms in different faiths. And all religions have some kind of, even in Buddhism, they have Buddha statues. So the idea is that it is very difficult to contemplate on a formless God. But when you have a particular form, then like when you see Jesus, instantly you think of his sacrifice. And how all his teachings and how compassionate he is and how loving he is. So rituals are done, but they have to be done with love, not mechanically. Like there was one guy doing rituals. Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Svaha. Then again, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha. And then he said, heard the phone ringing. Oh, phone is ringing. Pick up the phone. And if it is Jim, tell him I'm not home. Svaha. So he's doing his rituals, but his mind is on the phone and he's telling his son to lie. So that's not. The rituals have to be done with love, with full attention. Then others love to listen to stories, especially in India. They have this Ramayana. You know, there's a story of Ram. Ram was, we say, God incarnated as Ram 8,000 or 9,000 years ago. And people go and listen to his story for 9 days, you know, 6 hours a day. And they will sit with full devotion and you tell him, don't you know the story of Ram? Oh yeah, I heard it as a child. I know Ram was born as a king, you know, as a prince. And then he went to the forest and his wife was kidnapped. And then he went and rescued his wife with the help of monkeys. And he became... So if you know the story, then what are you doing for 9 days, 6 hours? No, they enjoy that because their mind is so full of love. That again and again you can hear the stories of the Lord. You know, even about, if you listen to the lives of saints, You know, that is another beautiful thing. When you listen to the saints, how they lived and how they loved God, it becomes very inspiring for us. So some people like to listen to stories. Others like to meditate. And we know, as we do here also, you know, sometimes we meditate on a form, sometimes we meditate on a mantra. We try to, you know, pick different techniques every week. So the idea being that God actually in reality is all pervading, formless. He is everywhere. There is nowhere where God is not. Like, he's here between us, he's in the space, he supports everything. But it becoming difficult to contemplate upon this formless God, so we start with the form, and then ultimately that form becomes universal. So you could be meditating on the form or on the formless. And again, as I said, as long as it does not become fanatical, that my path alone is good and anybody who doesn't follow my path should be killed or should be, you know, converted or changed. As long as you are not doing that, as long as everybody is fine, everybody is going towards the path, and whatever path works for me is good, but I should not become a fanatic. I should not be killing people just because they don't follow my path. And then others, as we said, dedicate all activities to the Lord, and what we call as Karma Yoga, where yoga means joined. So all my activities are joined with the higher. And people have this wrong concept. You know, they work for 16 hours a day. He says, I don't believe in all these rituals. I'm a Karma Yogi. What do you mean Karma Yogi? I work 16 hours a day. Yeah, you are working 16 hours a day, but for who? Are you working to collect more money for your own body? And that's not Karma Yoga, that is work. True Karma Yoga is when all activities are dedicated to the one that has given me all the abilities. So I constantly have no sense of ego, no sense of I or my, because the Lord is the one that is working through me. The Lord is the one that is speaking at this moment. If I start thinking, you know, I know so much, then, you know, then this, even this talking will be useless. But if the true idea is that the Lord is the one and everybody in front of me is the Lord, and so then that activity. So it is how the attitude with which the activity is performed. And when activities are done unselfishly, without the sense of I or my, and constantly remembering the higher, constantly dedicating it to him or her. You know, many people love the mother goddess. So God is not him or her. God, we consider, I mean, again, it's hard to define, but as energy, as the energy that enlivens this whole universe. So there is no, like electricity, it's not male or female. Electricity is the energy that illumines the fan, the light, the clock, the air conditioner. So that energy which illumines everything is what is God, and that same energy takes different forms to bless us. So dedicating all activities, constantly remembering the Lord, and doing some amount of service every day is Karma Yoga, where I work without sense of doership, without I or my, and without expecting anything in return. That is true Karma Yoga. So today we have learned how love can be expressed in different ways. And again, not one is superior to the other. It is just an individual's personality. And then how people choose different paths. Some people like to do prayers. Some people listen to stories. Some like to meditate. Again, meditation has to be done with love. I have to love meditation. I have to enjoy, like you were saying last week. If it becomes a chore, oh, why do I have to get up at 5 and meditate, then you are not going to enjoy that. And when I'm working in the world, all my activities, whether I'm cleaning the dishes or whether I'm vacuuming the floor or whether I am working in my office, whatever I'm doing, when I remember the Lord, then that activity becomes Karma Yoga. And whichever suits you, so that's what it says, depending on the devotee's aptitude and attitude. So what the devotee enjoys and what with what attitude he approaches the Lord, this is how different paths lead to that, all lead to that one goal. It is how, just as if you want to climb the mountain to the peak, you could go by bicycle, or you could go by foot, or you could go by car, or you could, if you have a rope, you could climb straight up. So four or five people choose different paths, but when they reach the peak, the view is the same. They all enjoy the same thing. So God is that peak where no matter how you reach, and if you listen to the descriptions of the Christian saints or the Buddhist monks or the Hindu rishis, the final experience they describe is absolutely identical. There is absolutely no difference. It is just one. It is in our foolishness that we, you know, divide ourselves in different. So this is today, and we'll continue that next week, where we'll talk about additional paths to reach God. Any comments? Any questions? No, that's a very good point. Yeah, it's excellent, right?
Sometimes you just focus on one, and then next thing you know, you're like, you've jumped over and you don't even know you've done it.
True. And ultimately, all activities, so like it's a very good point, like when a person truly loves, say, I truly love basketball, then what I'll do, I love basketball, so then I have to play basketball, then I have to learn about basketball, so then I buy videos of Michael Jordan and I watch them, and then I start practicing, and then I get coaching, and then I play, and then, you know, within a few years, I become an expert. So similarly, on the path of love for God, you all three things happen. So once I love this path, okay, I love to advance spiritually, then what I do, I want to know who is God, how can I reach him, so I go to a guru, or I get some books and I read, and then I start putting effort. I get up in the morning, I do my prayers, I do my meditation, then I start serving the world. So all the three things meet. You know, I'm working, I love the path, and I am knowledge. So all the three. So when your body is working, the mind loves God, and your intellect is studying about him, then all three are, then only the progress is fastest. And I think that's an excellent point. And at one stage of your life, you could be doing more service. And another time, you could be doing more prayers and rituals. Another time, maybe you are studying or learning. And yeah, you're right. I think the paths, absolutely, they do intertwine. That's a very good point. Thank you.
That's a real thing, devotion.
No, you're absolutely right. Because they say that a bird needs two wings to fly. You know, if there was only one wing, then the bird would be just fluttering round and round. She wouldn't be able to fly. So similarly, for a spiritual seeker to progress, he needs the mind and the intellect. So the mind is where the emotions lie, and the intellect is where knowledge lies. So some people may be more emotional, and they may spend more time in loving and, you know, praying and doing the rituals. Other people say, I don't believe in all this. I want to sit and study. I want to know who is God, Aham Brahmasmi. So they will sit, pick up the Upanishad and meditate upon it. But that is okay. But ultimately, both are equally important, because you will not keep on studying unless you love the subject. Even to study, to go to a teacher, to pick up the book, because these books are kind of dry, you have to love the subject. So love is the main focus of this whole book, where they talk about the role of emotions, that unless you are emotionally committed to this path, you will not, because to get up every morning and sit and meditate, and then to constantly remember God, you have to have the emotions involved. Yes. And the more you reduce, they say the more you purify the mind, because our mind has a lot of anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness. So as we remove these negative tendencies, substitute anger with love, substitute hatred with compassion, substitute jealousy with sharing. So as you slowly, slowly purify your mind, then the God that is already within you manifests. So the role of emotions is a very, very important part in our spiritual journey. And I have to develop, we talked about last week, and we'll be talking again in the coming weeks about developing a relationship of love with God, not a relationship of fear or a relationship of that he's somebody up there punishing me, but is somebody I love. Yes. So emotions are very important, I think. Would you like to add to that?
In our culture, where I'm coming from, there's a little bit of skepticism, but it's with information. And then
I think some of it is also organized religion will try to instill fear in the followers, and it happens in all the religions to bring them in. If you don't go to church or if you don't go to the temple, then this will happen and that will happen. So that is their way of increasing their following. So I think sometimes they use fear as, so I don't know why, but I think in my opinion, God is somebody to be loved, not feared. Like a friend or a beloved or a loving father or a loving mother. Not somebody that loves you and has your best interest at heart. That's how I always have tried to look at it.
I would imagine meditation may
come out. I think meditation and then right knowledge, right understanding, all that. Because if you have created wrong ignorance can only be removed by knowledge. Not by meditation, but by the right knowledge you can remove. Like if it's dark, you have to shine a light. You cannot take buckets of darkness and throw them out. You know, you cannot say, I'm going to throw all the darkness out and the room will be lit. No, you have to shine a light. So when there is ignorance, I think knowledge is very important. And then the old tendencies can be undone by meditation. My wrong beliefs and wrong ways of doing things. Wrong understandings can be undone by meditation. But knowledge, I think, is the number one key. That's a good point. Thanks.